Good morning and welcome to Cape Talk. So I don't know if you do live in the Table View area, if you live on the beachfront in the Blouberg area, then you would see all of this happening around you. Yesterday, loads of people lining the streets looking at a military convoy making its way around the sort of Parklands, Table View, Blouberg area. Some people saying this is a waste of taxpayers' money. Other people saying, well, it's actually quite fabulous. It's good to see what the military can do. But the big question is, why are we having an Armed Forces Day? There's been a series of events leading up to Armed Forces Day. And the man to give you the insights, Helmut Heitmann, military and defense analyst at Jones Defense Weekly. Good morning, Helmut. Good having you on the show. So some people are looking at this and they're going, oh, no, we're wasting taxpayers' money, man. Why do we have all this military driving through our streets, jets and helicopters showing us how they rescue people, the Navy having ships, circle Robben Island and the rest of it. Some people are saying it's a waste of money. Others are saying, hey, maybe this is a great way to recruit people to be part of our military forces. What's your take on this?
Look, it's a lot of things. Partly, and a lot of, not all countries, but a lot of countries have similar things. Partly it's to show the taxpayer what they're getting for their money, that it's actually there, and then sort of know how to work it. Partly it is, in fact, a recruiting thing. You know, young guys or girls these days, too, maybe in tail end of high school, take a look and say, gee, this could be interesting. This could be exciting or fun. Mm-hmm. Whether you're now into the soldiering bits, rappelling down from a helicopter, or more into the technical side, interested by artillery or something, it's a showcase. On the cost side, most of what they do for something like Armed Forces Day is something they should be doing during training anyway. You need to practice convoy movement. Otherwise, how do you get a unit from A to B if you want to have to in an emergency? You need to practice repairing broken vehicles because they do break down. You need to practice unlimbering a gun and firing the gun, setting it up, etc. So a lot of this is, if they weren't driving from, say, Bloemfontein to Cape Town, they would have to do an exercise driving from Bloemfontein to somewhere else to do it properly. In fact, the Army doesn't do nearly enough movement exercises to really, really fully grasp convoy management, for instance. I think the only real additional cost is the accommodation. But again, they probably stay mainly at Youngsfield or Wingfield or somewhere like that, or on site, the way they would in the field. So the real cost is the additional cost of whatever senior officers fly down to be there for the parade.
So we're not essentially talking about hundreds of millions of wasteful expenditure. This is what's been budgeted for in any case. And, you know, in order for the military, if the military had to defend us because someone decided to come in, you know, using the Blouberg route, at least
that one at least is a bit unlikely, but. Mind you, I think the bits to that too was not just using the.
Well, at least they'll know how to maneuver around there.
A lot of it, as I say, it's stuff they would have to do anyway in training to practice, in a slightly different format and a different area, but it's still good training. The whole business also of planning and organizing the movement. What are we going to do? It keeps a staff busy. They've got to think. They've got to sit down, do timings, do schedules. Who can we spare? Who can't we spare? It's stuff they would have to do operationally. Don't necessarily get enough opportunity to do normally in peacetime.
The other thing is, and it's the careers side of things. You know, if you want to become an engineer, if you want to become a mechanic, if you want to become a pilot, it's more than just carrying a gun and shooting at people. So the military certainly offers, very clear career paths for people as well.
Look, a lot of them. In fact, it's really only the infantry who spend most of their time carrying a gun and shooting at people. Not that they shoot at people all that much.
Yeah.
But most of the rest, I mean, armored vehicle crews, for instance, they have to learn quite a lot of technical stuff just to be able to maintain their vehicle in the field. So they don't have a friendly mechanic necessarily to hand. In the engineers, well, they're not engineers like university engineers, but they learn about earth-moving equipment. They learn about building a bridge. They learn about improvising a lot of things.
Yeah.
One long ago during one of the external operations, one combat group got cut off by an unexpectedly flooded river. And the attached guys managed to build a bridge out of logs strong enough to carry rattles. That's the sort of stuff they learn there. There are a lot of technical traits. The signals guys learn a lot about computers, a lot about radios and the whole business of radio wave propagation. So there's a lot of technical skills within the military. The pure soldiering part is pretty much almost a minority, really, if you look over the whole defence force.
Brilliant. Helmut Heitmann there, military and defence analyst at Jane's Defence Weekly.